way cool. So, everybody, put your phone down, put your whatever. Reach out in front of you and pull out one of these little cards. I'll wait. Michael, that means you. Oh, she's handed it to you. I need help too. I get it, brother. Okay. Everybody have one. Hold it up. I need to see evidence. I don't see evidence yet. Okay. I'll wait. This is what we call a connection card. So, Zach, your assignment is to put your name on here and tell us that you're visiting today, okay? And everybody else, I just happen to know your name, so it's okay. All right, thanks for coming today. If you're a regular attender, you can reach behind you and grab one, okay? They're back there if you don't want to get up. We want to pray for you. Give us the opportunity. When I was a little kid growing up, how many of you like eggplant? How many of you, that's not your vegetable of choice, right? Anybody else, or am I the only one? So I was a little guy in a little town in Arkansas called Quitman, and this lady gave me an eggplant because I mowed her yard, and I took it and took it home to my grandma that helped raise me. And my grandma said, that was a good thing because you gave her the gift of being able to give. It's hard to pray for you if we don't know what you need us to pray for, okay? And we really are a praying church, and we want to pray for you. All right, so we're going to do this. It's an open book test. Did everybody get a bulletin? This is what it'll look like on the right-hand inside page, okay? So it's open book. I'm going to tell you the two questions. This is not a pass-fail, but it's an open book test. At the end, the two questions I'm going to ask you, because today, I think Bill mentioned it. Do you guys know what I get to preach about? John chapter 10. If you've got a Bible, phone, digital, I don't care how you get there. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you. But we're going to be in John chapter 10. And it talks about the Good Shepherd. That's how it's titled in most of them. And Scott said, can you preach on John chapter 10? I was all excited. He says, you get to preach about the gate. Now, which would be easier in your mind, preaching about the Good Shepherd in this 23rd Psalm or a gate? I'm going, what do you talk about a gate? Now, I grew up in Arkansas. We didn't have sheep pens. We had pens, but they were for cattle. So in the corral, took my kids once to a spring branding where they rounded up all the cattle and they put them in the corral and they fixed all the young calves. Okay, enough said. But my dad grew cattle and raised cattle on our farm. And every cattle had a name. Every cow had a name. He knew it by name. They're all tagged. They've got numbers. But every one of them had a name. He even named one after my wife, Amy. I don't know if that's a compliment or what, right? But every cow had a name. So today we're going to talk about the gate, but come back next week because Pastor Greg Cole gets to talk about the shepherd, and that's the good part, okay? I'm just laying the foundation today with talking about a gate, and it'll say door, right? He said, hey, John is going to preach about it. So the two questions at the end of it are you in the fold? And you'll see them in your bulletin. And then the second one is do you recognize your shepherd or Savior's voice? And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. I don't get to preach that part. I only get to talk about the gate. All right? So turn with me to John chapter 10. Before we do that, we're going to review. 3 weeks ago when Bill was preaching, he said, his verse was, I am the bread of life. And he talked about that Christ was our sustenance. And if you weren't here, he just said, there is a famine today in our country and in our world for the Word of God. So how many of you ate breakfast this morning? Some people don't eat breakfast. How many did eat breakfast? How many didn't? Most important meal of the day. How many of you guys at least ate something yesterday? Okay. So sometime or other, you've eaten in the last 24 hours, I think, unless you're fasting and you can't tell me. But we need, what Bill said was, we need our daily sustenance. We need our daily bread. And that's time with our Lord. So we need that one. And then 2 weeks ago, Pastor Scott taught about I am the light. So how many of you are old enough to remember there's a company called Motel 6? Okay. And Motel 6 and Tom Baudet. Are you ready? I'm ready. Are we there? Hold on. Because all the young people here, this is a 40-year-old commercial. You date yourself if you know it, okay? I'm warning you, but did we get it? Here it comes. Here it comes.
We've been leaving the light on for a long time. You might think maybe it would start flickering or get tired of lighting the way. Maybe take a day off from welcoming weary travelers with a clean, comfortable room for the lowest price of any national chain. Nope, still burning brightly. I'm Tom Baudet from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
Okay. They paid me to put that. No, anyway, I'm kidding. Okay, but Pastor Scott said, I'm the light of the world. Light dispels the darkness. Light encourages us. There's a verse in Matthew chapter 5. I'm just going to read it. It says, you are the light of the world. This is Jesus. Guess who he's talking to? Everybody say me. If you're in the fold, he's talking to you. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket or a bushel. They put it up on a stand and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. And I loved the song today. It's all about who? It's all about you. So that they may see your good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. So we've got the bread and we've got the light. And there's seven I am's in the book of John. And I had to Google it. How many of you actually know what the seven I am's are? I didn't know. I really didn't, okay? I'm the bread. I'm the light. I am the good shepherd. I'm the gate. That's what I got. Gates aren't nearly as romantic as any of those, okay? And there's one that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I don't know if that's going to be three sermons or one. I'm really curious to see how that plays out. I found another one, too. I'm going to share it with you later on. Okay, at the end of the sermon. There's another one that we don't talk about in the seven I am's. It wasn't original with me. I get shared with me with the devotion this week. And I thought, boy, that was timely, okay? But that's Tom Baudet. God says, leave the light on with you. Go to John chapter 10 with me. Follow along. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by any other way, that man is a thief and a robber. So a thief steals, a robber takes you out and steals. So it's either through suspense. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, and I don't get to talk about that. It's not mine. Come back next week. To him, the gatekeeper opens. So there's a gatekeeper. Shepherd comes up. He opens the gate for the shepherd. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Does he know your name? Does he know your name? There's a little song that says, he knows my name. But I don't get to talk about the shepherd calling the sheep. Okay, anyway. Can y'all tell I really wanted to preach the other one? Okay, anyway, but verse 4. When he's brought out all of his own, he goes before them. He leads them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So if you're in the fold, here's my question. Are you listening to his voice? That's what we're going to have you ask yourself at the end of the message today. Are you listening? Are you doing what he's told you to do? A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. If you go back into verse 40, just prior to it, it says, some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we blind? And if you were blind, you wouldn't have any guilt, but now that you say we see, you're guilty. So he's talking to the religious leaders and the Pharisees and the people, and he tells them the story about the good shepherd, and he says, they hear my voice. And I love verse 6. I mean, go look at verse 6 really close here, guys. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Is Jaden in here today, Amy? So I get to owe Jaden a quarter, okay? Jaden, it's what I call the huh phase. So the Pharisees are looking at Jesus and they're going, huh? What are you talking about? Jaden's great. He's our little 14-year-old guy, has Down syndrome. Sometimes it takes him longer to get things. They did an IQ test for him at school and it came in at a 40. And it's great. Every time you ask Jaden a question, he just looks at you and he goes, huh? Is it frustrating? Everybody say, yep. And here's Jesus teaching the leaders. And they go, we don't get it. We don't get it. It's not my message today, but when I was prepared, I just thought, I understand his frustration, right? So look at 7 with me. So Jesus, again, how many of you guys ever have to repeat yourself? Wives, don't hit your husband, okay? But it's okay. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And I'm sitting there going, is it a door? Is it a gate? Is it a door? Is it a gate? And I didn't know the answer. And I didn't have a chance to look it up. But I'm going to use a gate because I think a gate applies 2,000 years ago. When you have a sheep pen, you need a gate. So I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I'm the door. He says it twice, in case you missed the point. If anybody enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And then it goes on to talk about that good shepherd we're going to hear about again next week. Okay? Not today. So, go ahead and show us the corral. It said the gatekeeper would open the gate. Flip to the next one. It's even better. So you got the shepherd, and he's standing there. You got the gatekeeper. And the shepherd comes to the gate, and he opens the gate. Or the door, and he calls all of his sheep by name and invites them, and they follow him because they recognize his voice, they understand what he's saying, and they follow him because they recognize him and they listen, and he leads them out. And it says that he takes them in and out to where there's pasture, and he feeds them. So take your bulletin really quick here. Do you guys see where it says welcome and it's got four little letters or four lines? Everybody found it? We haven't done a good job this year of passing this part on to you. Does anybody know what our theme is for 2025? You can even say it, Nicole. Welcome home. So fill in the blanks here. It's welcome home. We want Majestic to be a place where people can connect to Christ and to feel like they're part. Welcome home. That's what we want to be about this year. We want to invite you to join us in the Shepherd's Fold. So that was the goal. Now, I'm sitting there going, there's another version of a Shepherd's Fold. Go ahead and flip to the ones on the rural scenes. So this is what an old shepherd's fold looks like in Israel. It's a rock wall. It says, remember it says the thief crawls over the wall? It was literally a wall. And they would actually put thorns on top of the wall. How many of you guys have ever seen razor wire or barbed wire fence, right? So, and that's the gate. And I was at a conference this week with the leadership. During the meals, they'd mix us up. And so one time I'm sitting by everybody, and you've been to a conference, and you're sitting there, and you go, gosh, what do you do, and where are you from? And this guy was from New Jersey, and he happened to be a pastor. And he was there. It was leadership training, and he goes, I want to lead my flock better. And I said, that's funny, because I get to preach this Sunday, and I get to talk about the gate. He goes, oh, let me tell you, he had been to Israel 3 times, and they were out touring it. He goes, the fun part about this one, this was a real shepherd out with his sheep. He goes, it wasn't set up for all the tourists, right? And this guy was taking care of his sheep. And he showed him a pen similar to this. And this pastor looked at the shepherd and he goes, well, how do you keep them in there? There's no gate. And the shepherd looked back at him and he goes, I'm the gate. I bring the sheep in, we put them inside, and I lay down across the opening. Sheep don't leave without me knowing about it. Nothing comes in without me knowing about it, unless it's a robber or a thief trying to climb over the wall. And I thought, God, only you could have put that together where I could hear that story from him. There's no gate. Jesus is the gate. So, I was excited after that because I'm going, okay, I'm not just preaching about a gate. I get to talk about the gate. The watches are coming out and are going in. That's what he said. If you go back to the verses here, he says, he's brought them all out and he goes before them and the sheep follow him and they know his voice. So they get to come and they go. They're trying to find it. But it just says they're going to go in and out, in and out. So, I don't know. Some of you know what I do. I work with schools fundraising. 3 years ago during COVID, my business basically shut down, so I got to go drive a FedEx truck, right? It was kind of fun. This was my little holster. It didn't have the paint. The paint's from when we went and served in Juarez. But you guys, if you don't know, upstream about 60 miles is a little town called Cotopaxi. And that was my route. And there's lots of gated communities up there. And if you're the FedEx driver and you don't know the code, guess what? They don't get their package unless they have a box by the gate. They could do that too. So I got what gates were about, right? And they all had codes. My favorite code was this. It was 1225. Anybody want to guess? Yeah, it was fun. That way, if you're old like me and you forgot, you could go Christmas 1225. And that's how I could remember the codes to take the people their packages and stuff like that. It has nothing to do with the message, but Jesus is the code. He's the gate. He will open up the gate and let you come in, and he will keep you. And then he will take you out to good pasture. You know? He's the gate. We're going to talk about doors just for a second. You don't have to go there, but in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1, they were rebuilding Jerusalem. It had been destroyed by the Babylonians, totally wiped out. They ripped down the gates, tore down the walls. They're rebuilding the walls, and they start to rebuild all the gates. And the gates had names. I thought this was cool. Does anybody know what the nickname for Pueblo is for the rest of Colorado if you live up north? It's called Pew Town. Anybody know that it's called Pew Town? Okay. I mean, if you grew up here, you knew that it was Pew Town, right? Somebody really close to me grew up in Colorado, and when we were moving to Pueblo, it's like anywhere but Pueblo, right? Now, anyway, but I appreciated Bill's comment that even with the shooting, the response and the outpouring of love and care and concern that Pueblo and Pueblo West demonstrated for our officers was huge this week. Maybe it's because one of my sons is now a policeman up in Rapid City, but to see that kind of response was huge. okay? But as they're naming these gates, it was fun. They all had names. There was one called the Horse Gate. Guess what the Horse Gate was for? These are good. Y'all are doing good, okay? This is the Horse Gate. There was one called the Fountain Gate. I'm guessing that one's close to the what? The water, right? There was one called the Valley Gate, so I'm assuming that you could see the valley from there. My personal favorite, there was one called the Dung Gate. Well, no, I mean, I just thought, I wouldn't even ask you what that one was for. But, you know, as this pastor was talking to me about this time when he was in Israel, he goes, you know, he says, sheep are messy. So are cows where I grew up in Arkansas, right? But sheep are messy. And this was the Dung Gate. So for all the kids in here, it's a new four-letter word at school that you won't get in trouble for. You can just go, oh, dung, you know, and it'll work. And your teacher will be impressed because you have such a broad vocabulary. So this was the Dung Gate. But Jesus says that he's the gate. He's the gate. He's going to take care of them. Psalms 121, verse 8. We talk about coming in and going out and God watching over us through the gate. This is a long time ago. There was a 1984 version of the New International Version. And I took Psalms 121 and we made a song out of it for us. And I could even play it on my guitar because it only had three chords. It was great. But Psalms 121 in the 1984, the words don't match in like the ESV, right? But it says, do you all know that Scott used to sing in his college? If you don't know that, he's got a great voice. He and Alicia both sang. When I was in high school, the choir teacher challenged me. He says, if you can speak, I can teach you to sing. He said that. So I signed up for choir. And a semester later, he looked at me and he goes, you know, maybe not. It wasn't funny, okay? But we wrote this out. If you want to flip to Psalms 121, I don't sing like Scott, okay? But it just says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is the shade at your right hand. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, just like the gate, both now and forevermore. Dun-dun. Now, how many of you guys recognize the tune? You should feel bad. 100 bottles of beer on the wall. I figured Charles Wesley did that, and all his hymns were the bar tune, so people would know them, and they'd be familiar with it. So, anyway, has nothing to do with it, but the Lord watches over our coming and our going. He takes us into green pastures. I don't get to talk about the shepherd. That's great next week. Deuteronomy 28:6. You will be blessed when you come in, and you'll be blessed when you go out. But guess who the gate is? Everybody say Jesus. It's the Sunday school answer. Jesus is the gate. Otherwise, you get to choose verse 10. If you look at verse 10 again, it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And there's a semicolon. Jesus says, I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. So which side of the semicolon are you living on? Are you hanging out over here with the thief? Or are you looking for the one that has life, right? Matthew 7 says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate's wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Or in Luke, he says, strive to enter through the narrow door. When once the master has risen and shut the door. So my challenge for you, and I assume most of you are in the sheepfold. I really do. Are you listening to his voice? What would he have you to do? This week, when I was at the conference, it was fun. I'll date myself. How many of you guys have heard the little expression, WWJD? How many of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about? And that's okay. There was a book that came out in the 60s, I believe it was. It's a long time ago. And it was called, What Would Jesus Do? What would Jesus do? And so when you're impacted, you're supposed to stop and pause and go, what would Jesus do? And the new twist on that, and the guy was nice enough to give it to me. It says, DWJD. Do what Jesus did. Not ask yourself, what would he do, but to do it. Remember what Jesus says? He says, you are the light of the world. So are you letting your light shine? If you're in the fold, is your light shining that God has brought glory by what you do? Could be a trip to Sudan. It could be just how you live life. Every day, do they see Jesus as God glorified by what you do? So that was kind of the challenge for me this week, is to do what Jesus did. Let me read you a little story. Some of you may have heard Pastor Scott talk about this book. Everybody say, Unoffendable. So I would recommend that you get the book and buy it. I had bought it on Audible. I listened to books a lot, so I had a chance to listen to this one. This is a bedtime story that a dad told his two boys. Let me just share it with you, okay? Not supposed to read from the pulpit, but this was worth sharing. There were two dogs who lived in the country. They had pretty much the ideal country dog setting. Beautiful rolling hills, lots of sunshine and romping, and a good master who was kind to them and loved them. It's the kind of life you'd love to have if you were a dog. Gypsy was an older dog, and the younger dog was named Snowball. Every day about the same time, their master called them in for dinner. They knew to obey. That means they had to respond as soon as they heard their master's call. One day at the exact moment, the master called them, Gypsy, Snowball, dinner time. A rabbit ran across Gypsy's path. Suddenly, she felt a strange sensation. She wanted to ignore her master and chase after that rabbit. She was tempted. But she yielded to what she knew was right and went to dinner immediately as she was trained. But the next day, it happened again. And this time she gave in to the temptation. She heard her master's voice, but she decided she just wanted to chase the rabbit right now. And when she finally came for dinner, she came with her tail tucked between her legs. You ever seen a dog that's embarrassed, head down? She knew she had done wrong and she didn't want to do it again. But she did it. Again and again until it became easier for her. And soon, Snowball was able to run free, the younger one, while Gypsy was now leashed. Her master was heartbroken. He loved her, but he knew he couldn't trust her anymore. One day, the master loaded his dogs into the car to take them for a walk in the woods. Gypsy and Snowball loved the smells of the woods. When they arrived, Gypsy, now used to disobeying, took off before the master could put his leash on her. She was free. She ran and ran into the woods, free. Her master called her name desperately, Gypsy, 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 in hopes that she would return to him. He and Snowball, the younger dog, searched for hours, but to Gypsy, his voice became more distant until she couldn't hear him anymore. She was excited, but she noticed it was getting cold and the sun was going down. Meanwhile, Gypsy's owner and master, who loved her so, cried as he put Snowball back into his car and drove home. He never saw Gypsy again. And the guy reading this to his kids, the kids all of a sudden go, Dad, that can't be the end of the story. And as I told you, you might think I'm pretty messed up for telling this as a bedtime story to my kids. You may actually want to call the authorities at this point. But there is a little more to it, but not much. I told them that the master drove home, and while Snowball missed Gypsy, Snowball resumed a wonderful life, romping through the meadows and always responding to her owner. Gypsy lived in the woods the rest of her life. Her fur grew matted. She was lost and alone. She missed her master's voice and the way he took care of her. She eventually had some puppies, And she told them about the master and how good he was. But they only knew some stories. They didn't know the master. The puppies grew up and they told their own puppies about the master. But by then, no one really knew him at all. And that's the end of the story. I told my kids I wanted them to know that while I love God and I want to be close to him, I want to stay in the sheepfold, he's given us all a choice whether or not to serve him. And when they grow up, you'll have the option to reject God's love, to go your own way, to buy into the idea that freedom exists elsewhere. Or they can trust that God's way brings us freedom. He has our best interests at heart. And when God shows us how to live, he's doing so because he wants us to flourish like snowballs. So, one of the questions, if you're in the fold, do you hear his voice? And are you listening? And are you saying yes? If you put your hand up, I'm going to teach you sign language really quick. This is what? That's yes. God wants you to say yes. He wants you to obey instantly. Not I'll think about it. Not sit there in your chair for 5 minutes and go, well, let me think about this, Lord. Tell Siri to be quiet, okay? That's what we're talking about today. Jesus is the gate. And are we listening to his voice? Are you in the fold? And if you're in the fold, what's your purpose? What's it all about? Are you being obedient to what he's asking you to do? You know, I think back to the light, and Scott's challenged us to be the light. And he wants us to do that, right? So if you're in the fold, I'm going to share this with you. It's a long poem. And I probably read worse than I sing. So I'm not going to read this all to you. We'll get out of here on time, okay? But I want to read parts of it. The title of the poem says, I Stand at the Door. Do you guys like jokes? If I say knock, knock, what's your spot? Okay, let's do this. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. Knock, knock. Oh, come on. You can do better than that. Okay. Knock, knock. Who's there? So this one's not a joke. Revelation chapter 3 says, Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and what? Knock. And if anybody would let me to come in, I would come in and sup with them. But before he says that, let me find it here. It's on the other page. Yes, sir. Okay. It's really good. I didn't even make it up. He did. Oh, here we go. Those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. Remember the dog that ran away? Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So there's a precursor to that. If anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. And that's to Christians. That's to believers. We use it sometimes as an evangelistic thing, but it's not. This was addressed to the church. Are we listening to his voice? Are we hearing what he has to say? And are we letting him in? Okay? So, I stand at the door. I stand by the door or the gate. The door is the most important door in the world. It's the door through which men walk when they find God. There's so many that ever find it's the only wall where the door ought to be. They creep along the wall like blind men, people with outstretched, groping hands, feeling for a door, knowing there must be a door, but they never find it. So I stand by the door. The most tremendous thing in the world is for men to find that door, the door to God. Nothing else matters compared to helping them find it and open it and walk in and find him. So I stand by the door. As for me, I shall take my old accustomed place, near enough to God to hear him and know he is there, but not so far from men as to not hear them and remember that they are there too. Where? Outside the door. Thousands of them, millions of them, but more important for me, one of them, two of them, 10 of them, whose hands that I am intended to put on the latch. So I shall stand by the door and wait for those who seek it. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. So I stand by the door. So, yes, I think most of us are in the fold. And Jesus is the gate that protects us from what's out there and allows us to come and to go. But how would he have your light shine? I mean, I could call out all kinds of people and say, I see that. What's your part in the community? How do we touch Pueblo West and Pueblo and in the world? How do we do that? Where are you right now, and what would God have you do? Maybe it's to nurture your kids. You know, I work with schools. I'm at Desert Sage Elementary with the principal the other day. And I said, would you let people come in? And I said, we've got a few younger people at our church that are older and retired. Would you let them come in and just like even read to your kids? He says, I'd love to have people come in and read to my kids. Can you imagine the impact that would have? I just finished up working with Liberty Point Elementary. Principal there has a huge open heart, wants to touch her kids, loves them dearly. Instead of grumbling and complaining, what can we do? What's our part? What's our part? Not just in the church, but how do we shine our light in the world? How do we become that bread of life that Bill talked about, where we nurture and reach out to our community and make a difference? So those are the two questions as you look at your bulletin today that I want you to think about, okay? Are you in the fold? If you're not, if Jesus Christ has not opened the gate for you, don't put that off. Don't put that off. The second one is this, is are you listening? Do you hear his voice? Do you recognize it? And then are you doing what he's asked you to do? Whether that was to go to Uganda with medical supplies or Sudan and build a hospital, maybe it's just to go to the person next door. I'm embarrassed to tell you that there's a guy next door to me and I don't even know his name. My neighbor? But that's real. So how do we say yes to God? How do we say yes to God? I'm going to finish with the other I am. This is pretty cool. Flip over to John chapter 18. Actually, it'll be on the screen. This is the other I am that we don't hear about. I got this in the devotional. Do you guys know what Lent is? Some people won't know. We throw these words around in church all the time. Lent is the 40 days prior to Resurrection Sunday and the crucifixion. And I got this. And he goes, Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, he knew, he was aware, you guys, of what it was going to take. He went out. They're up in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he asked them, who do you want? Who do you want? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. This is 100 Roman soldiers and the Jewish leaders coming to arrest him at night in the garden. Can everybody here say special forces? Was anybody here like a Marine? Or we'll pray for you. No, anyway, but PTSD. Seriously, I mean, these are the Roman soldiers at night. They go to Jesus and he goes, who are you looking for? And they go, Jesus of Nazareth. He goes, I'm it. Their first response, this is cool. I'd never seen this before. He goes, I'm him. And Judas was with them. And when Jesus said it, they drew back. Do Marines ever retreat? Never. Roman soldiers didn't either, bro. And so they fell back and they fell to the ground. These are the elite troops going out to arrest Christ in the garden. And their first response when they understood who he was is they fell to the ground. Not in worship, but in fear. And they didn't get it, right? It was that huh moment. It's like, again, he goes, so who do you want? He's trying to protect his 11 guys behind him. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He goes, I told you that I'm him. And then they arrested him. And they took him down and they punished him, and crucified him, and buried him. But he came back 3 days later. So if you don't know who Jesus is, and he's knocking on the door for you for the first time, and wants you to accept him as the Savior and Lord, say yes. They didn't say yes the first time. And then they persecuted him. And you don't know how many times he's going to ask you to say yes. So if he's saying today, you need Jesus, listen, hear his voice, obey, and say yes. Let us know. Use that communication card. Or you can just verbally come up to me or some of the other leaders in the church, would say yes. If you're in the fold, I want you to ask and answer this question for yourself this week. What would he have me to do? How can I shine my light? Be Tom Baudet. I'll leave the light on for you. You, not Jesus. Jesus was the light of the world. But he said, you're the light of the world. You are, so go make a difference. Thanks. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this gate. Thank you for Jesus that stands between us, allows us into his fold. Most of us know the story about the one lost sheep out of 100. Jesus went after him. Help us not to be that stupid dog that chases rabbits and squirrels and the things in this world that we think are going to bring us pleasure and freedom. Help us to follow you. Help us to hear your voice, to obey your voice, to bring you glory and honor. We ask in Jesus' name.